Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone, and happy, happy Tuesday. Welcome to Loretta McNary Live Presents Tuesdays with Michael Farmer. He's our spiritual personal coach, so glad that you all are here and very, very excited that Michael is here. We're going to do a recap of the last, 4 or 5 weeks that we've been talking about, renewing your mind. And as always, you can always go back and listen to the archives and hear everything that we talked about, because I had to go listen to a couple myself. Excuse me. So I just want to bring Michael on so we can do the recap today and talk about what's coming up next, hopefully before the end of the show.
Well, good. Good morning, everybody. It is certainly good to be back here and to close out this particular topic of renewing the mind. We've been on this, wow, the entire month of January, is of a Tuesday, and also two Tuesdays in December. So it's been 6 weeks, so a lot of information has gone forth. We hope that the ones who have listened to it have gleaned a lot from it, and not just gleaned from it, but actually putting some of those things into practice into your everyday life, because that's where you're going to see the immediate results. So faith without works truly is dead. And with that said, we just want to get right into it. Kind of have an abbreviated show on today, but we just want to hear some of the highlights of what we talked about the past 6 weeks. And, of course, we said before that the topic was renewing the mind. And I'm seeing that as a theme in quite a few areas I've been looking at, just going on different blogs and also on the Internet and churches that I'm dealing with. A lot of people are dealing with this issue of renewing the mind and going through this transformation. So I think it's a timely topic. We don't want this just to be a phase, or we don't want this just to be a wave that hits the body of Christ and then spills out like most of them do. We want this to be something that is a tangible, identifiable part that's relative to the body of Christ. And then we being the light and showing the world how it should be done and not vice versa. So we started out this whole topic with the support scripture, and I like to use that with everything that I do, and it came out of Romans 12:2, which simply says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, there's some key points in there that I want to just leave with you and want you to really just meditate on. And when you look at that particular verse of scripture in Romans 12:2, it says that we should not conform to this world. I mean, that we should not try to fit in with the way the world do things, or we should not fit in with their way of thinking. But he's admonishing the church there at Rome, and he's telling them to be transformed. So there's the difference. Don't conform, but transform, and then he tells you how to make that transformation. And he says you do that by the renewing or the renovating of your mind. And said that you may prove. Not God's going to prove it. Say you're going to prove. Prove to who? You're going to prove to those around you. You're going to prove, most of all, to the world, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So that's what I want to leave with the listeners on today. And it's just really just on me the past few days to really encourage, you know, those who profess to be Christians to really begin to live this thing out. It is imperative, especially in the days in which we live, that this happen, because as you see just all through, and especially with the emergence and then the explosion of social media, you know, it's an outlet to get things to people. You know, we see the world is propagating their way of thinking very rapidly. So we should use that same medium and to propagate the way we think, and to also not just propagate it, but to demonstrate to them that our way is the best way. I know some people don't agree with that, but that's what I believe, that God's way is always the best way. In other way, you're just spinning your wheels. And then, of course, the last scripture was Ephesians 4:23, which simply says, "And be renewed in the spirit or the attitude of your mind. And then we covered, I think it was 10 aspects of the mind. So these are different areas of your mind which you can make that renewal in. And I'm just going to read down through them very quickly, not going to expound upon any of them, but I just want to let you know that your mind is so multifaceted, so many aspects of the mind, that it can be renewed in so many areas. We're going to start with number one, which are your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is your memory, and number three is your imagination. Now, the basic gist of these three, the thoughts, your memory, and your imagination, deals with, as we talked about in the broadcast, deals with the present, the past, and the future, respectively. Your thoughts represent your present state of thinking. Your memory represents the past, and then your imagination, of course, represents the future, also those eternal things of God. So those are the three that we mentioned. And then the next seven are your consciousness, your perception, your reasoning, your choices, your will, your concept, and also your ideas. So those are 10 aspects of the mind that can actually be renewed. And that's just a few. That's not all of them. I'm just dealing with some ones that we can kind of grasp our hand around very quickly and that are pertinent to us. Because we don't want to go into the subsets of these things or talk about the subconscious and all that. That's a whole different topic and a whole level of teaching within itself. So I want to make it practical where you can understand it and not just be just blown away or on the opposite of the spectrum, just be completely bored to tears with it. So I think with those scriptures that we've given during the course of this time and knowing where we are, one, knowing what your current state is, desiring what that change that you're looking to see, and then start beginning to apply all of the principles that we've talked about over the past 6 weeks. And I just really want to just encourage, and also not just encourage some, also admonish some, to really go into the archives and listen to the messages. I've been having people coming to me at church and all different places who listen to the broadcast. So, man, I've listened to that two or three times, and that's, you know, it's really helping me. So that's those the kind of testimonies I want, that you are hearing, and not just hearing, but you're also doing. The next part we talked about, you have something, Loretta? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah, we certainly appreciate, you know, definitely appreciate all the listeners week after week, but also more so when they comment and send emails and say how the show has, you know, helped them, or if they want us to talk about something differently in the weeks to come on the show. So we like the communication back and forth. So we want to encourage that moving forward.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us right at about, the first 3 weeks. It took us about 3 weeks to lay the foundation for this whole thing, and I'm a firm believer in making sure that the foundation is firm, that the foundation is sure, because if the foundation is firm and sure, then the house that you build upon it can definitely stand. And Jesus, mm-hmm. of course, talked about in his messages, you know, building your house on rock and also building your house on sand. And he compared those one to the one who hears the words and do it. He likens them to someone who builds upon their house upon a rock. And that way, when all of the vicissitudes of life and all the adversities and the tribulations come, he said, those things are going to beat upon that house. He said, but the house stands. And then on the flip side of that coin, he talked about someone who heard the word and did not do his word or do his sayings or do his bidding. And when those same storms came, it said the house not only fell, but it said was great was the fall of the house. So the house is completely annihilated. So I can just spit you open and pour this information into you, I would. No, we know that's not possible, but God has given his ministers a different way of doing that, and that's basically just speaking, because words are spirit and words are life. So once you speak a word, that word goes out into eternity, and it has to accomplish whatever that word was designed to do. Now, after we laid the foundation after that 3 weeks, then we talked about the process of renewal. And we gave some definitions about that and talking about what it means to conform. The word conform literally means to fashion together. It also means to make the same. So the word, that scripture basically tells us that God does not want to see his church and his world looking the same. It also means to bring into agreement or harmony. So there's never in scripture where he says he wants us to be in harmony with the world. Jesus said that when he came to bring a sword. He said he came to set people at variance because of him. So in other words, light and darkness can't fellowship together, because if light hits darkness, and guess what? The darkness has to go. So light and darkness can never fellowship together or be in harmony together. They're diabolically opposed to one another. So we have to get out of this state of conformity and this thinking of conformity and start doing things the way God ordained them. The next thing we talked about was transformation, which means to change the condition, nature, or function of something. It also means to change the personality or the character. Thirdly, we talked about what it means to renew, which means to make completely new, qualitatively speaking, not quantity, but we're talking about improving the quality or making the quality of that thing new, and it literally means to renovate. And then, of course, the word renovate means to make sound and fresh again as though new. It means to clean up, replace worn and broken parts. So if you, some of those aspects of your mind are worn and broken, like the wheel and the choices that you've made over the course of your life, then God said you have the ability to renovate those things using this word. Then, of course, we started the process after that. The first step was to accept the lordship of Jesus. Of course, that's number one. You have to accept his lordship. Secondly, we talked about that, realize that you have an active part in the process. Now, the operative word there is active. You have an active part in that process. And if you would look at Colossians 3, we're not going to go there, but if you read Colossians chapter 3, wow, they give you a laundry list of things to do, and it actually shows you specifically how to do it. Talks about how you should put off some things and then put on some things. Ephesians chapter 4 deals with some of the same things. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24 talks about the same thing, that you put off the old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust, and then you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then we talked about you need to foster a lifestyle of abstinence, sanctification, and holiness. And we know those are some really, really terrible words according to the world these days. And it's some people in the church. You know, I heard a minister say on a broadcast one day, well, we know abstinence is not a realistic doctrine to teach in the times in which we live. Well, I could have just broke up the radio when I heard that. No, God is still a God of abstinence, abstaining from certain things. And, of course, we talked about all of that, what it means to abstain. We also talked about the word abstain means to just stop, not to indulge in. And that could be in anything. And the word sanctification simply means that you're setting yourself apart for a particular use. And, of course, holiness deals with just purity of your character, purity of your thought, and just how you do things. So there are three distinct words, but you have to foster that type of mindset. Instead, I'm going to foster a lifestyle of abstinence. Because the only way to really break an addiction or to break a stronghold in your life is that you have to abstain from that substance, or you have to abstain from that conduct. It is impossible for you to get victory from something if you're not abstaining from it. I'm just going to let you know that. And any psychologist who may be listening or who you know can confirm exactly what I'm saying, that the only way to treat it in any treatment facility, if you go to the treatment facilities for alcohol and drug abuse or sexual addiction or anything, that any categories that you're addicted to, the first thing they tell you is that you have to abstain from this. You can't do it anymore. And, of course, if it's a substance abuse, then, of course, they administer some type of medical assistance to help you get with it, because they don't want you to kill yourself going through withdrawals. So that's a whole different topic within itself. Then, of course, you have to set yourself apart for a particular use, and then you have to live that life of true holiness, just out and out, just being pure in your thought, being pure in your body, being pure in your motives. That's a synonym for holiness is purity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about how you dress, even though a mindset of holiness would dictate to you how you should dress. And, of course, the Bible gives us some directions in that. We're not going to go into that. So you need to foster that mindset of abstinence, sanctification, and holiness. And then the week after that, we talked about continuing the process. And then, we talked about strengthening the law of the mind. And the word law in that context means prescriptive use. So like someone, like the doctor writes you a prescription, they tell you the dosage that you should take, how often you should take it, and how much you should take. Well, that's what the law of the mind does. You can build up your mind by, first of all, nullifying the dictates of the flesh. Only thing your flesh can do is crave, lust, and desire. As I think Loretta liked that statement when I first made it, was that your flesh does not have a mind of its own. So the flesh can only put pressure on the mind. That's all it can do. But the mind is the one that is ultimately in control, because your body or your flesh can do anything that your mind doesn't allow it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, we talked about walking in full awareness and knowledge of what you have learned concerning Christ. You have to walk in the full awareness and knowledge of what you have learned concerning Christ. You have to learn his character. You have to know his ways. And of course, we can learn these things in his word, but one of the major ways you can learn Christ is by fellowshipping with him by way of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the God that God has left in the earth for the church in the time in which we live. He is that paraclete. He's one that is now called alongside us to guide us in all the affairs about life, and he's there to help you do whatever you need to do. He's not going to make you do anything, just like the devil can't make you do anything. The Holy Spirit is there to help you accomplish your task. He's not going to do it for you. And then the third point on the continuing that process of renewal was to function in the power of the Spirit and not just the letter of the book. So don't just get into just a verbatim what the Bible says, unless you get an understanding of what it means. And the best way to do that is to read something in its full context. Even if you have to go all the way back to the beginning of the chapter, I always teach my students that the best way to study the Bible in context is to go back to where that thought began. And I think the longest one that I've dealt with went back almost like four chapters for me to find that thought. So sometimes you may have to back up four chapters. But just to go in there and just to pick a verse and to base your life strictly on just that verse and not having an understanding of why that verse was written or who was written to and the times in which it was written, there's just so much goes into that. And we're going to talk about that once we get to the part of how to study the Bible. We're going to talk about some of these things. That way you can have an understanding of what you're reading. But because even if we did not have a Bible, he still gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit before he gave us a Bible. I want y'all to think about that. So when Jesus...
Yeah, because I hadn't heard that one before.
And that's true.
I like that.
When Jesus went back to heaven and he offered himself, you know, upon the mercy seat of God, he became that living type that was so typified in the Old Testament. Well, he was that lamb of sacrifice. And then he the one himself said that, you will know that I made it to heaven because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to you, and the sign that I'm going to give to you It is that you're going to know. And they knew on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit made a grand entrance with a sound as a rushing mighty wind. So he made a grand entrance when he came into the earth, and that was the sign that he did, that Jesus made it back to where he came from. But he was not going to leave us helpless with orphans, but he sent us another helper in the form of the Holy Spirit. So that's, and I'm trying not to just get into just deep teaching mode today. I really want to just cover these
points. I know, because you touched on so many things that individually could make an amazing weekly show for weeks. Like, knowing more about the Holy Spirit. You taught me something right then. I probably heard it, but not put like that, so it didn't like resonate in my soul. But the Holy Spirit was before the body. I love that, and I want us at some point to do a study on the Holy Spirit, so people can really understand. You're never alone, and there's always wisdom, and there's always guidance and protection through the Holy Spirit for us. And then talk about the angels that we have, you know. It's just so much we can talk about during this spiritual show, and I want people to understand that, and we will talk about it. We will get
yes,
to
we
it,
will.
So just keep listening and hang in there.
Because actually that is one of the topics in the discipleship study course, so we will get to that. I don't know which one I'm going to start on next week, but I'm going to let it be a surprise. We'll give you a teaser on Facebook and by email. To let you know what the topic is going to be. But right now I haven't really narrowed it down to which one we're going to talk about.
I know, because there's definitely one I want to talk about. And then, of course, how to study the Bible. I want to talk about how to pray the proper way. You know, there's so many ways.
That.
And I love that we completed what we could complete in the amount of time that we had on renewing the mind. And I'm sure each thing that we talk about weekly will address that, even though that's not the totality of the topic. But you've got to keep doing this. You have to keep renewing your mind. And we talk about those 10 areas that we can work on, and already said that there are many, many more, but those are the ones he concentrates on during his his teaching and his studying. So just hang in there. I tell you, I know one thing. Every Tuesday I look forward to the show, and every Tuesday I learn something. And I've read the Bible, many times from Genesis to Revelation, many, many times, but I always, every time I read it, I get something different.
And that's what it is, Noka, because the spirit of the Bible in those words are the words of spiritually discerned. I left out a part, Loretta. I left out about last week. The last week was we talked about you or what you think. That was the last part. And we gave some scriptures of how you think. And I think we got hung up on one quite a while. I think there was in Galatians 6 and 3 of how not to think more highly of ourselves than we also think. I think we kind of got hung up there for about 30 minutes.
We did, because people, there is the world view of what that means, and then that's the spiritual view of what it really, really means, because we were having to, remind people, don't think so highly of yourself, and that was when there's comparison, but not in terms of when it's, it relates to mental health, when you have low self-esteem, or you already have these negative messages saying you're nothing, you're nobody, you'll never be anything. It was not telling us to do that, and I want people to make sure they understand that. That's not part of the teaching. That's a whole nother conversation.
And it is, at some point we're going to, because the whole intent of the show initially is to cover the entire discipleship study course that was created in 2006, and now you have the opportunity to really get the information out. And once we cover most of that, then there'll be other topics that we'll cover and subtopics, and we'll deal with things of common interest. And then and even between those teachings, just whatever God impresses upon our hearts to discuss for that particular week. That's what we're going to talk about, because we're if when it's all said and done, we're still here to do His will and to do His bidding. So if you want to interrupt the series and say, I want you to talk about, dealing with people's hurts, and that's just an example, because there are a lot of hurting people in the body of Christ. So it's, the intent of the show is that, and that's our objective. But when it's all said and done, you know, I'm only a servant that is under the lordship of Jesus. And if he says go this way, then I'm going that way. If he says stand on your head in the corner for 5 minutes, then I'm going to stand in my corner on my head for 5 minutes. So it's I'm being a bit facetious, but that's how we have to get into it, our Christian walk, is that we have to do what we are led to do, or what we are instructed to do. And sometimes I don't like to use the word led, or sometimes led, you can be led by your flesh, and you think you're not, think you're being led by the word, and you do, well, I was felt led to do this, and you did something just way off base. So if you led, make sure you're following the lead of the right person and not just what your flesh is desiring to do. Well, Loretta, I think our time is nearing an end on today. Is there anything that you want to interject before we close the curtains on this particular topic and get ready to make another curtain call next week on a new one?
No, you've done an awesome job of recapping everything, very methodical like you always are. You touched on every week that we talked about something differently, and I just want people to go back and listen to those conversations whenever they need it, invite other people to listen to those conversations, and, you know, just continue to tune in with us every Tuesday from 11 a.m. usually to noon, but today we're doing a shorter version of what we normally do, just as a recap, to allow you time to go back and listen to some of the other shows before next Tuesday. And we want to invite you to call in. It is a live call-in show, and I know this is one of those shows where there's so much information you don't want to call in because you might miss something. That's what everybody tells me. But the number to call in is 347-539-5772. 347-539-5772. You can reach Michael at GloryAPP@AOL.com. He's on Facebook. He now uses his Twitter. He tweets, everybody. He tweets. And just reach out to him. He has Discipleship International if you're in the Memphis area and you want some one-on-one counseling or help or guidance, then please, you know, call him and ask him about how does that look for a person. And it is a holistic approach, so it's not just one area that he helps you in. He does a holistic approach. So reach out to him. And, of course, you know how to find me on Facebook and Loretta McNary Show .com and all that stuff, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. You all know how to find me. Trust me, I know that because you send me emails and text messages and inboxes. So, and I love it. It takes a little longer to get through everything, but we're so glad that you are communicating with us and that you love the show. And we just thank you all for your support, and we'll continue to be here for you every Tuesday. So, anything else you wanted to add?
No, that is it. I don't want to open up a can, because you know me. Once I get rolling on,
I know.
I want to dig into it. So I'm not gonna pull the lid off of it. But I just want just my closing remarks to simply say, you know, faith is what pleases God, and faith without works is dead. So if you're not acting on what you're learning, and then you're not pleasing God. You know, you have to always be in a constant state of renewal, because we never arrive. The only time that you've arrived is just when you are standing in the presence of God. So that's the ultimate arrival. And you have an ETA at some point in your life where, you know, you're going to arrive there, and you're going to be rewarded for the things that you did while you were here. In the body here in the earth. But in the meantime, we want you to be just completely transformed by the renovating of all the aspects of the mind that we talked about. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. I'm here to help.
All right. Well, that's it. We're going to go ahead and close it out. Everybody, we thank you so much for listening to Loretta McNary Live for this Tuesdays with Michael Farmer, our spiritual personal coach. As always, we invite you to think positive, dream big dreams, help someone along the way, and we will talk to you very, very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.